Well, were it not for the Spirit, there would be no church, as has been given ample evidence of in Acts chapter 2. And the church, my friends, is quite an imperfect place, wouldn't you agree? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yes, the church can be a very imperfect place. It's like the Lutheran pastor who always started each worship service with "The Lord be with you," and the people would respond saying, "And also with you." But one Sunday, the PA system wasn't working quite right, so the first thing he said was, "There's something wrong with this microphone," and the people responded, "And also with you." Isn't that the truth? Yeah. The creation of the church by the Holy Spirit is really an idea that is ahead of its time. Now, when I was a kid, my best friend Harvey, his mom was an elementary school teacher. And on one occasion, I think it was a Saturday, I traveled along with Harvey and his mom because I think that she was getting her classroom ready, the area where she was teaching, she would be getting that ready for all of her students. And to my amazement, because Harvey's mom taught in a different elementary school than the school that Harvey and I went to my amazement, this elementary school had no classrooms. It was just all one big open area. Now, there were a few dividers here and there, perhaps for more concentrated lessons, but other than that, it was just a large open area. Well, as the years went by, I also found myself in a friendship with a former parishioner, and I had the chance to visit her downtown office here in Cincinnati, and she works for a company that's called Possible. And I love that name. I think that some churches should be given that name or named that name. Oh, what church do you go to? I go to the church that is called Possible. I attend Possible Church. Anyway, upon my visit, I was taken in by what was this big, huge, open floor plan where all of the employees would work together. And I suppose the idea was that if there were no walls, then people would collaborate and they would share their ideas more freely. They did have a small private workroom here or there for conferences, or if someone wanted to work quietly or have a confidential conversation, that was available to them. And so contrast both that the school that I went to with the one-room classroom, and contrast this workplace that I went to with the small, tiny office cubicles that so many people have to do their work in. Well, one of my favorite shows is called Property Brothers on HGTV. How many of you have liked that show? You've seen that show? Yeah, Property Brothers, okay. Yeah, Jonathan and Drew are good-looking enough, aren't they, as the hosts of that TV show? Drew, I believe, is the real estate expert, and Jonathan is the contractor. Now, the whole idea behind the show is that they take prospective home buyers, and they show them these rather dilapidated, or these homes that have been neglected or forgotten, and they take the would-be home buyers into these homes, and they have a walk around, and then they have conversation with the prospective home buyers. And the whole idea is that they're taking a home that's been neglected and it needs a lot of TLC or a lot of work to it. And one of the things that Jonathan invariably ends up saying as they're looking at the plans for how this new house will be put together is he'll say, "Oh, we can take down that wall. We can open that space up. It can be more intimate, and the family can see each other. There'll be lines of sight, and everybody will feel like they are together." Open floor plans. This is what the postmodern generation wants. Tight, restrictive, compartmentalized schools or workplaces or living spaces are now a thing of the past. Well, speaking of walls, maybe you've heard about the preacher who was visiting various Sunday school classes during the Sunday school hour just to see how all the kids and the teachers were getting along. And one Sunday he visited the sixth grade boys' classroom, and they were talking about things pertaining to the Old Testament. And so the pastor listened for a little while, and then he asked, well, who knows who knocked down the walls of Jericho? And two boys answered, and they said, well, preacher, we don't know, but we sure didn't do it, preacher. And surprised by their lack of knowledge, he turned to the teacher and asked, well, what do you think of that answer they just gave? And the teacher replied, well, I've known these little boys since, you know, they were born, and they're always honest, Reverend, you know, and if they said that they didn't do it, well, I believe them. Well, completely dismayed, the pastor went out into the hallway and he saw the chairman of the church board, and he told him, well, I was just in with the sixth grade boys' class and asked who knocked down the walls of Jericho, and two boys held up their hands and they said, well, we didn't do it, preacher. And then the teacher told me that if they didn't do it, that they believed them. And the chairman of the board interrupted him and said, well, preacher, let's not fuss about who did what. We'll just fix the walls and pay for it out of the general budget, okay? Which leads me to say again, the creation of the church by the Holy Spirit was really an idea that was ahead of its time. Although the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit could not be contained within the upper room, for the work of the Spirit is primarily outside of the walls of the upper room. The upper room is the birthplace of the church, but that's about it. For the Spirit goes to work all over Jerusalem and Judea and on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, in Greek cities up and down the Mediterranean coast, in Ethiopia even to Italy and then on to Spain. And that's all just during the New Testament era. Unfortunately, the world is very, very much in favor of containment. Perhaps there's something woven into the fabric of human life that it's a response from us that we want to contain and hem things in. Why don't people just stay put in their own countries? Well, why didn't Abraham just stay put in Ur of the Chaldees? And aren't we thankful that he didn't? Why didn't Moses just stay put in Egypt? Why didn't St. Paul limit his ministry to the Jews in Judea rather than traveling through the then known world sharing the gospel? Here's why. Movement is built into the life of the church. That's why we have missions. Yes? A church that is not on the move, it's no church at all. Why? Because churches must learn, reach, and stretch beyond themselves, out to their neighbors, and also, as Jesus said, to the stranger. The greatest obstacle to churches growing then is not the buildings they find themselves in. No one ever said, well, it was a bad thing that the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples in the upper room as opposed to coming to them in an open field or upon a mountaintop. The point of the narrative in Acts chapter 2 is that once the Holy Spirit fell upon them in a mighty and powerful way as it did, and as it's recorded there in Acts chapter 2, they went out. They went out. The place of the upper room did not become enshrined. Sure, you can go and visit it today in Jerusalem if you wish, but it didn't become enshrined. When something becomes enshrined, it becomes a place that is just for us. This is our shrine, and not for them. A shrine comes from the Latin word scrinium, and it is a word that refers to a case or a chest for books or papers. In other words, it's a closed box, if you will, and we all have little shrines in our lives, don't we? I can remember on one occasion a congregation that I was pastoring, and I had to go and take something to a parishioner of that church. And so I drove to her house, and the ways that the driveways were set up, the homes were very, very close together, and so you couldn't really tell whose driveway belonged to whom. And so I pulled into this driveway. I assumed it was Ada's driveway. And so I pulled in, and I had hardly shut my car off when out from the front door of this house came this man. He was enraged. He came flying out, standing with arms extended in his driveway. "You get out of my driveway!" I think I might even had my clergy collar on, but he didn't care. "You son of a gun, get that car off of my driveway right now. But I'm only here just, it doesn't matter, you get off of my driveway." And boy, I put that thing in reverse and out I went as quickly as I could. Yeah? His driveway was his shrine. Nobody touches it. No trespassers. Nobody in my drive. It was his shrine. It was an object of worship to this man. Anytime God becomes enshrined, it is in that moment, my friends, that the Holy Spirit can no longer work. Rather than making the upper room a shrine, the disciples received the Holy Spirit, and they did it gladly. And then they walked out the door into the world to love the unloved, to heal the broken in body and spirit, to serve those that are on the fringes and the margins, and to be His light, as we say here at St. John's, that transforms lives. The lesson for us, the birth of the church, has very little to do with staying put in one place and more to do with going forth. Go ye therefore into the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we are called, the Greek word, the Greek is the language that's used to pen the New Testament, the Greek word for church is ekklesia. And that word means called out ones, called out ones. It means that we are called out from the value system of the world, just as the prophets, just as Jesus were. The values of the church are not the same as the values of the world, my friends. Jesus said we are in the world. Yes, that's true. And we go forth into the world, but we are not of the world. Our DNA isn't made of the same stuff of the values of this world. You see, the church was not born to tell people what they want to hear. Can I get an amen? Amen. Maybe a more enthusiastic amen? Amen. The church was not born to tell people what they want to hear. That's what politicians do, and aren't we getting an earful of it now? Oh, yeah. Like John. John the Baptist told Herod Antipas about sleeping with his brother's wife. I got to call you on that. You know? Like Jesus told the Pharisees about hypocrisy and political posturing. And like St. Paul told the Corinthians about their sexual immorality. And so every time we hear a message that is rooted in the Gospels that you or I do not want to hear, but that we need to hear, it is then that the church is alive and the Spirit is leading us. Were it not for the Spirit, there would be no church. Amen.